You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
We can't really play the music because it won't play to you.
Yep, no, that's fine. Don't care.
I haven't got any of that automatic wire stuff or whatever it's called. Oh, I've got to change my name on this thing.
Oh, my God.
Well, let's just say we started. I'm Morgan Avery, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Avery, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
We are now married. We've been waiting a long time for the law finally to catch up to the way we, our hearts feel, and finally it happened.
Now, that's okay though, right? I mean, I'm straight married as well, but the gay marriage is different, right? I can be straight married and gay married.
I thought you'd divorced that woman.
No. No, she's quite, I like her quite a bit, but you know, I thought I like you too, so.
So what I thought had happened was that you had her to have all the kids that you wanted.
Yeah.
And slightly more.
Sure. Yeah.
And more. Then you were going to marry me for love.
Right. No, it was you for money.
Okay. So I was the sham because I thought that the first one was a sham.
No. I mean, they're both shams to a degree.
You've badly devalued marriage.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that. It was inevitable, wasn't it, with everything that was happening?
Yes.
Okay, well, we'll just annul our marriage and move on. I'll go back to being Dylan Reeve. You can be whatever you want.
If you can't do it drunk, you can't do it. This week on the show, I have a jar of air.
Oh, wonderful. And I have no jars, just a room full of air.
I probably shouldn't say jar anymore because now it's trendy amongst dickheads to drink out of a jar.
Wasn't it when you were doing that, when you started doing that?
I think it might have been, but it wasn't like Pinterest trendy.
I mean, I didn't call you on it because you've had a beard for a long time, and so drinking out of jars seemed like a natural progression.
Now, I mean, it's not something I invented.
Are you checked flannel shirts?
I'm wearing a merino hoodie.
I think you're all right.
And no shoes.
Cool.
And jeans that are a bit too big for me.
No, I think you're good.
Thank you. So I guess I was like, yeah, I'm going to drink out of a jar after I saw them drinking out of jars on moonshiners. And I was like, I've got a jar. I could do that because that is a big vessel. And then I was like, man, there are no other 1 liter glasses in the house. So this seems like a really great way to kill two birds with one stone, or three or four birds.
Yeah.
Depending on the alcohol by volume.
Well done. And now you've busted through that trend and you're going to go back to drinking it. Maybe you could drink out of ridiculously small glasses from now on.
I can't play stings. Corrections! Is that how it sounds? Corrections!
Yeah, pretty much.
So apparently last time, now I don't actually remember anything that happened on the last episode because it was months ago.
it was just last week, wasn't it?
Yes, it was last week. This is a weekly show. I said something about Michael Jackson being past his best in 2010, and that is technically true, but in fact he died in 2009.
Yeah, he was definitely past his best in 2010 then.
Isn't it amazing that he died 5 years ago?
It really is. Do you remember where you were when you heard?
Auckland, New Zealand.
Yeah, me too. Somewhere. Where the hell?
I'm never going to forget that moment, whatever it was.
Oh, I know. I was in Takapuna. I was at home because I hadn't started working yet. It was you know, I was working an afternoon shift. And I happened to be watching the news. No, maybe, but I was probably informed by Twitter that Michael Jackson had died. Then I switched on the news and I was like, what the hell?
Do you remember where you were on September the 12th, 2001, when those towers came down? Because I was in bed asleep.
So was I. And then I got a text message from a strange street artist named Noodle, who said, turn on the TV. And I was like, what the hell is this crazy man texting me for? And I went back to bed.
So someone texted you, turn on the TV, and you didn't turn the TV on?
No, because he was crazy, and I would have had to get out of bed and go upstairs to turn on the TV.
I'm baffled by that, because
I was living with you at the time.
If someone texted me and said, turn on the TV, I'd turn on the fucking TV.
I was flatting with you at the time, and I was probably concerned that you were, like, wandering around naked upstairs.
I probably was doing that.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Totally reasonable.
Yeah.
And then I went to work, and on my way to work, I still had no idea what was going on. I got up, I went to work, I walked out of the house and across the park and up Newton Road, and I stopped at the Celtic station on Newton Road, which I don't think is there anymore. and I got a pie because it was the morning and I wanted a pie. And there was a teeny, like 7-inch black and white TV behind the counter, and the guy who was working that shift at Celtics happened to be American, and so he was riveted. And I was like, well, this is weird. Then I went to work and watched some more TV at work. And then because I was working in public relations and the Herald was one of our clients, I then wrote a press release because that was the first and only time the Herald has released a second edition.
Right.
Yeah, and then I don't know what else happened. I probably just, well, no, then I followed a lot of the story in real time on Metafilter, which I had joined exactly 1 week before.
Metafilter is amazing.
It is amazing.
It's still amazing, but it is badly behind the times now, and that's part of the reason that they've
I've got to go. I just got a text message to turn on the TV.
Yes, and I know that you're very unprofessional and you haven't turned your volume down. You haven't turned it on to silent.
What is?
I'm hoping that you replied, because I don't know if my phone's on silent, and wouldn't that be ironic?
I didn't reply, and I trust that you are better at this than me.
I'm not. I'm better at many things than you. Maybe this. Being professional, I am a professional at many things. Not this.
Yeah. What's new in your life? Anything interesting? Last time I said this, you completely avoided the fact that you're going to be a father. I hinted at it and you didn't acknowledge it. Yes. Now I'm just outright saying it. Yes. Oh, and you're going to be a father. That's exciting.
Yes. And last time we spoke, my girlfriend was heavily pregnant, and now my fiance is heavily pregnant.
Oh, you proposed to her?
She proposed to me. We're now engaged.
Wow.
Yes.
I was going to say, did she get down on one knee to propose to you? But that's probably a little bit impractical when you're pregnant.
I'm not going to tell you the exact circumstances of the proposal on the air. I might tell you off the air.
I can't wait. Well, that's good. That's exciting.
It was wonderful, though.
I don't imagine you're going to tie the knot before the baby arrives.
In 3 weeks? No.
Oh, you could pull something together.
Listen, with the number of pigs that we're going to have to kill for our wedding, we can't pull it together in that amount of time.
There is
going to be a nationwide shortage of bacon. Everyone's getting their own pig on a spit.
Oh, my God.
Our wedding's going to last days while everyone consumes their pig, their pork.
That sounds amazing.
Except, obviously, the vegetarians. Vegetarians will be well catered to at my wedding.
With?
I don't know. Like sweet carrots, corn, salad, whatever. Vegetarians
eat. I already used to be a vegetarian. Pretty sure when I started doing this podcast with you, you were a vegetarian.
I was, I was a vegetarian and I enjoyed it.
But and now you eat meat again, and bacon is good.
Bacon's not that good. I mean, really good bacon is an extraordinarily wonderful flavor. But, you know, when it comes to pig, belly is better than bacon.
Yeah.
As long as it's prepared well. Bacon is not the best of meats.
No, but it adds delight to many things.
Bacon is not necessary in anyone's life. So I think, even though I have stopped being a vegetarian, I still think that it's morally, ethically, and ecologically better for people to be vegetarian. I just couldn't keep doing it. You know, I did it for a few years, and I would do it again sometime, but, you know, just not at the moment.
It's all right.
You know, funnily enough, on Metafilter as well, as we just previously mentioned, you know, I've seen some of the horror stories on Ask Metafilter. You know, vegetarians being getting the stupid jokes. Oh, just have one sausage. There's not much meat in it.
Classic.
Yeah, that classic line that apparently vegetarians have to deal with. And I've, you know, my friends never really did that to me.
Well, there's also bacon's practically a vegetable. My wife's nana used to. Apparently, because my sister-in-law's partner is vegetarian, apparently she once said to him, well, you can't see the meat.
Mm. Okay, but, you know, without wanting to talk about stuff which is not our business to talk about behind their backs, she has a lot of food issues. And
no, not the sister-in-law, the sister-in-law's partner.
Yes, but if she said you can't see the meat, there
no,
are
no, that wasn't her. She didn't say that. The nana said that.
Oh.
No, she's very understanding of the vegetarianism.
Right, she better be. I won't say anything about her being a hypocrite then, because apparently she's not. I just wasn't listening correctly to your story.
It's okay, I understand.
I'm not a very good listener at the moment. I blame some sort of calorie deficit. I've now lost just about 10 kilos, and it's easy, but it's also, it's tiring, man.
Yep.
It's a bit tiring.
Yeah, I lost some weight and then I stopped losing weight.
I don't take it very seriously. I do the gym thing seriously, but I don't really do the food thing very seriously.
I did it the other way around. I was doing food better than exercise.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier for me to fit eating changes into my life than it is to fit substantial exercise into my life.
The trouble is drastic diet changes are much more difficult to maintain in an ongoing sense than having a pretty consistent diet and just figuring out how much activity you need to be fit.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, ideally you find a balance.
No motherfucker will ever be able to stop me from eating cheeseburgers. You know, so I need a diet. Actually, I don't have a cheeseburger. I just have a normal burger. I get a triple Whopper at Burger King.
A triple?
Triple Whopper.
I didn't even know that existed.
It's the worst burger you could possibly order there. I think that it costs much more than it ever occurred to me. It's actually a double Whopper plus a 5-inch patty. But if you say triple Whopper, they just give you that. But it costs like $11. And I probably could be getting like 2 normal Whoppers for that price or something.
I had Burger King recently, and I had their Butcher's Stack burger, which I completely misunderstood because I saw the triple, and it says beef and bacon and sausage, and I thought, all right, I'll try that. So I got a double, though. I didn't want to go crazy. And the double is just, it says beef and sausage. I didn't see that because it's in small print. So that means you get one beef patty and one sausage patty.
Gross.
Yeah, it was just, it didn't taste much different to just like a normal bacon, to a normal double, you know, barbecue cheeseburger. So it was a bit lame. The Quad, on the other hand, has beef and chicken and bacon and sausage and cheese and barbecue sauce.
That's not kosher.
It is definitely not kosher. Have you had a McGangbang?
No, what's a McGangbang?
I may have discussed this with you in the past. Maybe not. McGangbang is you go to McDonald's and you order a McChicken and a double cheeseburger. And you take the McChicken and you separate the double cheeseburger, so you've got one bun and one piece of meat on each side of it.
Yeah.
And you sandwich the entire McChicken bun and all between the double cheeseburger halves. Now, I know you're judging me, but it's actually really surprisingly delicious.
I'm not judging you. I'm jealous.
Yeah, well, but you can do what I call the mini gangbang, mini McGangbang.
Yeah.
For only $5, because you can get the double cheeseburger is $3.
Only half a dollar more. That's right. All it's going to take. Hey, it's really great.
I'm surprised you remember that. I would have completely forgotten it. The double cheeseburger is $3, and then for $2 you can have the chicken mayo burger, and you do the same thing but with a smaller middle burger.
It's too much bread. No, you don't need that much.
No, it works. So, try it. Obviously, you know, don't try it. It's probably incredibly bad for you.
I think your body can figure things out just as long as you don't give it too much sugar. I suggest that any of our listeners, I think probably now with the way that we've been recording and releasing a show, we probably have no listeners.
I don't know, because in my podcast app, at least, I have subscriptions to things that haven't released an episode in ages, and then just suddenly one turns up and I don't even really notice. Suddenly it's just there.
I'm pretty sure, because I moved I moved servers, and I'm pretty sure that like everything, like the feed location, is no longer the correct feed location.
Oh, and then it's all ruined. You fucked it all up. No one's ever going to hear this. We were wasting our time. I should have just called you and had a chat.
Like, I think that our last episode might never have made it into iTunes.
Someone said something like that, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I thought, that's ridiculous. Morgan wouldn't have cocked that up.
Morgan wouldn't have cocked that up. And now that you've mentioned it on Twitter, he'll definitely fix it immediately.
Well, that was also an assumption I made.
Because Morgan, he's one of those guys that cares.
That's exactly what I thought.
If there's any one thing that's definitely true about Morgan, it's that he cares.
Any one thing.
That's so professional. Yeah. I do know what the problem is. Well, I assume I know what the problem is. And it's just it's going to be easy enough to fix. I just need to put like an HT access redirect thing in there. It'll be fine. I mean, it's on the same server. It's just in a slightly different location because it's not its own. The Discourse site runs on WordPress. And it's a WordPress multi-site now. And so it's like I just have to change the feed location to like site 2.
Oh, interesting.
Or something dumb like that.
You're on multi-site.
I actually haven't looked to confirm that that's the problem, but I'm pretty sure it's something like that. Yeah, I've got multi-site just because I prefer not having to install updates like 15 times.
But you use Dreamhost, don't you?
No.
No?
No, I've got a VPS.
Oh, I thought you used DreamHost.
No, I've got a VPS.
Because I started using DreamHost and they got the one-click deployment.
Yeah.
And I can deploy a WordPress install and one mouse click. And then it automatically deploys all the new updates whenever they come out.
Yeah.
Which is very convenient.
DreamHost is fantastic, but their shit is fucking slow.
Their servers, you mean?
Yeah.
Right. It was faster than my VPS used to be. It's faster than my VPS used to be, but then I was paying very little money for a shitty VPS.
You may have had a very shitty VPS, bro.
I probably did. When you remember that thing that happened where I happened to make a post and a test about some Android exploit and suddenly shit went crazy?
Oh, yeah, and you made like $2,000 on Google AdWords.
Yeah, on Google AdWords one time. I was scrambling to upgrade my VPS a number of times to make it cope with that. It handled me pretty solidly.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just put Varnish in front of it or something?
It just became too much. It just became too much hassle. Couldn't be bothered anymore.
Yeah, all right.
And then I was just like, fuck it. I'm just going to take this away and go to somewhere that just gives me a little back-end panel and I can just push a few buttons occasionally rather than having to give a shit about any of these things.
DreamHost, it really is fantastic when everything's working fine. When shit falls over, I don't like how bro they are.
All right. I was just thinking that the back end, all the control panel stuff is like if you've used any other control panel or if you know how web servers work, some of it doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
But once you figure it out, it's fine.
Yeah, I bet their code is just diabolical.
Insane
spaghetti nested bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, almost certainly.
Yeah.
But hey, if you visit my website, you can get a discount on DreamHost and I get some money. Whatever. I don't care.
Speaking of visiting websites and you getting money.
Oh, yeah?
Have you heard of Kickstarter?
Rings a bell.
Yeah. For me as well. So are you going to try for a fourth kid or what?
Shit, no.
But just think, you might get a girl this time.
Can you know what would happen, though?
Get twins, and they'd be boys.
It would be twin or triplet boys. You'd be like, just what the fuck? That's exactly what would happen. No, there will be no fourth child.
Right.
We're already starting to give away the stuff that Cassidy's grown out of because we're not going to need it for another child. No need to recycle it around for a fourth time.
I'm very excited to use the pack.
Oh, the baby carrier thingy,
yes. Baby carrier thing.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm deeply interested to follow along with your experiences of becoming a parent because you've occasionally been vocal about various parenting things in the past, and it'll be interesting to see your experience when a small human being is thrust upon you.
Right. Well, you are correct that I have been vocal without necessarily knowing what I was talking about. But here are three of the things which I feel like I can comment on without having firsthand experience. Number one, the parent is the parent. So you actually can tell your child what to do. They might not do it, but there should be consequences for that. Right. And I'm not talking about a closed fist punch to the face. I'm talking about you leave where you are and you go home and the fucking kid sits on its naughty step for whatever is the age appropriate amount of time or stays in its fucking room with no devices. You know, as the parent, you do have certain amount of power.
The guideline and for the time, by the way, is usually about one minute per year.
I know that. I don't need to have had a child to know that.
No, I was just saying in case you weren't sure of the specific.
Another thing is, if you go to a place which is very busy and full of people, like, let's say, the Food Expo, don't take your fucking double-wide stroller.
Oh, my God. I've tried to take a single normal pushchair.
Those goddamn people. Now, if you have two kids, I understand that that's difficult, especially if you're there by yourself. Maybe leave the kids with their mother-in-law, your mother-in-law. Or maybe go with your spouse or a friend or however, what other kind of configuration is required for you to be able to carry the kid, like let's say either on your neck or in a pack or, you know, however old it is, depends on what's actually age appropriate. But not a fucking stroller in standing room only crowds. That's not all right.
See, we took a stroller, just a single one, mind you, to the Food Expo one year, and it was still quite early in the Food Expo's history, so it wasn't completely nutso like the last time we went. Yeah. And even that was just about fucking impossible.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that.
Would never even dream of it now. Just no. Insane. The children are not going anywhere near that damn place.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't remember what the other example was.
Oh, well.
Oh yes, I do remember. Just because you've got a kid doesn't mean you should be stunned into a zombie-like, a coma-like state of shock by upsetting stories about children. And yeah, I understand it was hyperbole that some people were saying. It was, oh, I'm absolutely speechless and I'm shaking here and crying. It's like,
what was this?
There are so many examples of that, of people reading upsetting stories and talking about having been driven into a catatonic state. And it's like, oh, fuck you. I mean,
I don't know about that extreme, but yeah. I've certainly found that since having children, my ability to take in those types of stories without becoming oddly emotional about it is massively decreased.
Right. So here's the thing.
Because I can't help in my mind emotionally projecting some of it.
Sure.
Like when there's a child involved in the story that's you know, around the same age as one of my children, I almost can't help imagining one of my children in the same situation.
Sure. But then along with that, those same people, probably you, would also say, well, you can't possibly understand. And that's like saying that, you know, I haven't ever experienced loss or don't care about anyone or anything. And, you know, that's basically what I've been told.
I don't think I'd say you can't possibly understand, but I'd say that once you have a child, there's a strange, different perspective that arrives. Not that you don't have it otherwise, not that you don't have compassion or emotional complexity, you know, emotional depth otherwise.
I'm the only person that you will ever talk to that almost cried in Godzilla. Okay?
So far, you which Godzilla?
The new one. I have compassion. I don't have my own giant monster.
No, but it's. I'd like to talk to you about this again in a couple of years because it is just strange and uncontrollable, unintentional. But there's a level of empathy that arrives out of nowhere.
Yeah,
and. I'm not sure where it came from, because I used to be, you know, quite dispassionate about those things.
Yeah,
you know, not entirely, but you know, it was easy to read those things and go, oh, that sucks, and now it's very hard to do that.
Right. So I think that I do have pretty strong empathy for other people. We, do a bunch of things that I don't need to talk about in public. So being told that, I mean, I understand that, you know, you feel differently based on personal experience, but I mean, I've literally been told that there are things that I couldn't possibly understand because I don't have children. And it's like, I actually do understand.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put it that way. I would put it that there are things that having children will provide a different perspective on.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
But, you know. I don't think you're a sociopath, so I'm pretty sure you can have emotional empathy towards all manner of things.
I'm definitely not a sociopath. I'm probably some kind of path.
Definitely is a strong term. You're probably not a sociopath.
Well, you wouldn't be able to take my word for it because I think that
no.
I believe I can be quite a manipulative person, but I also believe that the actual sociopaths don't feel real emotions in the way that we do as normal people. What is it called? Something about normal thinking. What's the word? I can't remember the word.
I have precisely no idea.
Something normative. One of those words which probably makes me angry when I see it written.
Oh, yeah, something normative. Yeah, I love normatives.
Normatives, but I can't remember what the prefix on it would be. They fake emotion, right? Like Dexter.
Yes.
So who is that guy that went murdering because he couldn't get a route?
I don't remember his name. And frankly, I don't really give a shit that I don't remember his name. It's not that important. 22-year-old fuckwad who decided to kill people.
Yeah.
There's a weird thing there. It's just that story has been so frustrating and I've deliberately chosen not to engage anyone about anything to do with it on Twitter because it's a fucking terrible medium for discussing these things. But it's so frustrating watching everyone try and blame a thing. You know, oh, it's his, you know, oh, it's the pickup artists. Oh, it's, you know, it's because he was a misogynist. Oh, it's because he had guns. Oh, it's, you know, because the mental health system in the US is broken. Oh, it's any of these things. It's none of those things and all of those things. And it's so frustrating all these times when these terrible things happen that are obviously very complex that everyone tries to blame, just, you know, tries to find a cause.
Yeah.
When clearly there isn't one.
There isn't one.
No, there isn't one. And not,
there are several.
Well, there are several, but they're not even, you know, it's not like any of those individual things can be blamed. You know, there are lots of objectionable things. US gun control sucks. The whole weird misogyny thing that he was into is shit and bullshit. And mental health care in the States and in many other places is not as good as it could be. But none of those things on their own is, you know, more than just objectionable, really.
Yeah. So obviously, everyone knows what we're talking about. Elliot Rodgers, who murdered six people in California. He was some kind of path. His parents were really worried about him. They knew that he had terrible problems.
He'd been in counseling since he was about eight.
They tried to get him out of the States to, you know, hopefully a different location would help him out. They got the police to talk to him several times and they, you know, couldn't figure out anything to hold him on. And he recorded like a 140-page
manifesto.
Yeah. Manifesto. He recorded YouTube videos, including one about how he was going to punish everyone, all the women who had treated him wrong. And he was a whiny crybaby. And whatever the problem was with his brain, instead of getting help with it, you know, his problem caused him to push that help away and refuse that help. And unfortunately, he went to some of the men's rights and pickup artist communities online, which are quite toxic. They're quite toxic places. Although, you know, I mean, I think the men's rights guys, they are completely wrong about virtually everything.
Yeah.
Some of the pickup artist stuff, you know, it's amusing. I've read The Game, which is one of their books, the pickup artist books. They've got some interesting ideas, actually, the POA guys. They use a lot of like neuro-linguistic programming and
there's certainly aspects of psychological study behind it, but they're still dicks.
They are dicks. But
that's it. They're dicks.
They're not murderous.
Yeah.
But you know, on the internet, people—it's not necessarily easy to read the tone of, you know, words you're seeing. And also, similarly, on the internet, it's easy to go overboard and say more than perhaps you might intend.
Well, a lot of people,
yeah.
A lot of people are big shots on the internet. A lot of people say things they would never do, and
make
threats that they obviously can't carry out.
Yeah, I told you I was hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's interesting because when those videos came out of his and I think before they obviously came to people's attention, they'd had only, you know, 100 and something views. You know, they weren't widely seen, and it makes me wonder how much other just horribly violent antisocial rhetoric exists in YouTube videos on the internet. Because I've seen, you know, every now and again you stumble upon something.
Yeah,
but there must be just a lot of it, a lot of that shit on YouTube.
Yeah,
heaps of it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's people say, oh, the videos were there, why did no one do anything? It's because there's lots of videos like that, and most of those people are just jumped up big shots who, you know, or jumped up dicks who are trying to be cool or whatever it is that they think they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole stinking world of tragedy. I feel especially sorry for his parents because they've got, you know, a double doubly horrific thing on their hands in that they've lost their son and that he did this.
Yeah.
And they weren't able to stop it. And I'm sure, you know, there's that retrospect thing where you look back at these things and you think, what if I'd done this? And what if I'd done this? And they're going to be doing it for a long time.
Yeah, I felt that. How do you feel about talking about Adam?
Yeah, sure.
So if an old friend of ours, a very good friend of ours for a long time, killed himself a couple of weeks ago. We assume he killed himself. It appears that he killed himself. He certainly fell from his apartment balcony.
And the police were not looking into...
No.
Deemed unsuspicious and no one else was being sought in connection.
That's right. And he had stopped going to work for a couple of weeks. And he'd been refusing contact with most people for about that long. So, you know, people assume that he was depressed and committed suicide. And it seems like that's the most likely thing to me as well. But even though I hadn't spent regular time with him for years and years and years, I still, and I'm sure you feel this as well, I still feel like, well, maybe you can say if you do or don't, I still feel like, you know, maybe there's something more that I could have done. You know, maybe if I'd been a better friend, a closer friend, then
this
wouldn't have happened. But the reality is that other people were staying in touch and it didn't make any difference.
Yeah, or were trying to get in touch. Exactly. Yeah, it was particularly rough in a sense because about a week before it happened, there was an email that went out. I don't know if you got it.
No, I didn't get it.
But there was an email that went out to an old mailing list of where we used to work.
Yeah.
Which it turns out is still alive.
Mm.
And it said, has anyone heard from Adam? Because his people he works with are concerned about him. And, you know, he hasn't turned up for work for a week or something.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a few emails back and forth. I poked a couple of places to see if anyone I knew, but nothing came up. And then so basically literally the next thing we heard about him was he was dead.
Yeah.
And that, you know, at that time you think, shit, maybe if I'd spent, you know, another hour thinking of people I might have been able to talk to or trying to figure out some way to get in touch. But then in reality it turns out that, you know, people did find him and they did try and reach out to him.
Yeah.
And he pushed them away. So, you know, I don't know what, like, it's that thing is, we've talked about it occasionally before and I've talked about it to different people, is that when these sorts of things happen, we try to apply logic and reason and, you know, and rational thinking.
Mm.
And the problem is that the issues take place in, you know, in a place where those things don't apply.
Yeah.
If there's depression involved or any sort of mental illness, then those, you know, us trying to look at things in a rational, normal sense is pointless because it doesn't, you know, our internal logic doesn't, or our logic doesn't necessarily apply to the person, you know, involved.
Yeah. Well, we don't know that.
No, we don't. I mean, we don't know anything, and that's, you know, but he knew, you know, there's certainly no reason to assume that he didn't know that people, you know, were trying to reach out to him and that, you know, there was no logical reason for it to happen. You know, he wasn't in massive debt. He wasn't, you know, hadn't done anything horrible, at least that we know of, that would, you know, you might think would explain something like this.
Yeah.
So instead, the only thing that's left behind is irrational things.
Yeah. I'm really grateful though. I don't know. I doubt that anyone from his company Sitehost as a listener, but if you are a listener, I'm really grateful that you tried to save him. I know that his colleagues really did try.
Yeah, and they were. It was obvious at the funeral that they were really, really hurt by it. I mean, because he hadn't been working there that long. But I guess, you know, for most of us there, we hadn't seen Adam in probably years.
Yeah,
or at least, you know, a year or two.
Yeah,
definitely weren't in regular contact with him.
Yeah.
Whereas these people saw him every day and he was part of their life, you know, like any of your workmates, he was part of their life.
Yeah. And he was so good as well. He was the best programmer. He was such a good dude.
And a good guy.
Yeah. So we actually had pretty similar histories with him. I went to school with him and we worked at iHug and we flatted together and you did most of those things with him as well.
Yeah, didn't go to school with him, but otherwise I worked with him in a couple of places and flattered with him for a while.
Yeah, and so, you know, we knew him really well, and I knew that he really was, you know, deeply a good dude who thought about shit and had a big brain, and that may have been part of the problem. Who knows? But yeah. So I mean, the only thing that I can hope is that it wasn't irrational. That, you know, he may have been depressed. We can't actually say if he was or not. But you know, I hope that this was a choice that he made freely. And if I can believe that, then, you know, I feel like, you know, it's, I can take a little bit of comfort in knowing that this is what, and believing that this is what he wanted. You know, if it's a choice that he made, then who am I to say that that's the wrong choice for him? But yeah, anyway, that was our mate Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm angry about it, actually. I'm really angry. So we should talk about something different, probably.
Yeah. So we can talk about my stupid tickling thing.
Let's talk about ticklekings.com.
Tickleking.com.
Tickleking.com. I almost got it right. I've been a little bit off brand.
Assuming there's anyone who still listens to this podcast, I find it difficult to believe that by now they wouldn't have seen some of my stupid tweets or something about this. But tickleking.com, it's the it'll currently redirect you to a Kickstarter page, but after that it might take you somewhere else once the Kickstarter's finished. It's a documentary project.
Yeah.
That myself and David Farrier from, you know, Three News or Short Poppies, if you've been watching that show, which is quite funny, might have, or have sort of stumbled into. So, like, 2 weeks ago, I had no plans to make any documentary about anything. 3 weeks ago, I'd never heard of any of this stuff. And now, you know, I'm 1 week away from, 1.5 weeks away from the finish of a Kickstarter project to raise $25,000 to shoot a documentary about a strange American man and a fetish I didn't know existed.
Don't give away the whole story. Not that the whole story hasn't already been given away.
There's so much. It's bizarre. So the reason, what happened, let's see. I haven't told the story much, but the deal is this. There was a website or a company, there still is a company called Jane O'Brien Media, and they were posting advertisements on Facebook and some other places for hot young guys, 18 to 25 basically, who were ticklish, this was important, also didn't like being tickled, similarly important, to basically fly to Los Angeles, you know, airfares, return airfares paid for, be put up in a hotel for a few days, and paid cash, around about $1,500 or $2,000 cash, US, in exchange for being tickled on camera for a couple of hours, clothed, mind you, but by other guys. So all guys tickling each other, tied up on a bed, tickling each other. So that was strange in itself, but kind of, you know, it's just internet weird. It's not that crazy. So David Farrier heard about this thing and decided it sounded like a quirky sort of weird story, like, what are these people doing? Isn't that strange? Sent a message to Jane O'Brien Media on their Facebook and said, are there any New Zealanders who've taken part in this? I'd like to talk to some. To which the response was, to be frank, we don't want to have anything to do with a homosexual journalist. To be brutally frank, association with a homosexual journalist is not something that we will embrace. We desperately do not want a homosexual participant base applying for this project.
Yeah.
Was the response, which was a bit weird because it's homophobic and kind of odd given the nature of, you know, dudes tickling other dudes on the internet. And it was suggested, because David Farrier thought this was weird and posted a screenshot of this to his Facebook, and it was suggested by someone in the comments that this sounded a bit like the behavior of a legendary internet troll from the late 90s who went by the name of Terry DeSisto or Terry Tickle, who used to request on, or used to basically spam news groups and email addresses soliciting internet tickling videos. So this is soliciting videos. Basically, she'd say, you send me videos of you being tickled and I will send you money. I'm a 23-year-old female college student from Boston College. I just like this. It's for my private collection. What's the gist of it? And some people sent her these videos. And then when they stopped sending her videos that she wanted, or when they said, we're not interested in doing this with you anymore, then she got very threatening and would send things to their employers, would threaten to send things to their school, to their parents, you know, all this stuff. Send these videos of these of them being tickled and other weird stuff and ruin their, you know, their school life and their work. And after an investigation by the FBI, she was actually, she was a he named David DeMato, who was an assistant principal at a high school in New York, 43 years old. He was convicted by the FBI of internet harassment and abuse, basically involving spamming and the distributing of personal details and things like that that he wasn't entitled to do. There was also investigation and early charges to do with identity theft and fraud, credit card fraud, but those were dropped for a plea bargain. Anyway, so this was this person. Someone suggested it sounded like that. So we started digging, and lo and behold, it turned out to be that person. Through a number of layers, it turned out to be that person. Anyway, we've written about this. There's a whole lot of stuff. We've written, David wrote three articles on 3news.co.nz. I wrote two blog posts. There's a blog post. There's a blog spot called Tickling Conspiracy, or theticklingconspiracy.blogspot.com. And as we found out more and more, it became very difficult to tell the story because there were suddenly other people involved, and we started hearing from people who'd dealt with him in the past. And so now we decided that it was something that needed to be told in a more visual kind of narrative sense. And so that's where we're up to. We're going to go to Los Angeles and New York and interview people and try and find David DeMato, track down what's happening, and make a documentary of it.
Mm.
That's it.
And so is that assuming you get kickstarted, or are you going to do that regardless?
Well, we are currently assuming that we are going to get kickstarted. We're looking reasonably good for it. We've got some, you know, we've got some good backing. We've got 300 and something people behind us at the moment.
Yeah. I understand that about over 80% of the time, if you get 50%.
You get all the way?
You get all the way.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's basically, only 3% of projects that pass 60% fail to fund.
Right.
I mean, you know, I guess if you only reach 60% on the very last day, that probably isn't true. But there's some weird statistics. This is my first foray into Kickstarter properly. I did a weird little Indiegogo thing a while ago, trying to raise some money for
trip
to the States.
That was terrible.
Well, it was interesting in that it got me a couple of interesting connections that I probably wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah.
But it didn't really. You know, I probably was never going to work, and it didn't. But this is the first time I've done like a proper Kickstarter, and goodness, it's oddly addictive.
Yeah.
It's there's anxiety. You know, you're like, oh my god, it's not doing well. There's some interesting things we've learned. Like, we've had a reasonable amount of positive media coverage, right? So it got David Farrier was interviewed on the Paul Henry Show, which is, you know, I think was probably watched by 40,000 people, something like that. I have no idea. I didn't look at the ratings. He obviously has written articles for 3 News. There was one, he wrote one thing about what we were doing for the 3 News website. So there was that. It went in Sideswipe.
Stephen Fry's a backer.
Stephen Fry's a backer. So he tweeted to 7 million people.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. That one did do something. But the vast majority, as far as we can tell, the vast majority of people who have backed us are, you know, one or two steps removed via social media, basically.
Me.
You. And other people.
Jose.
Lots of people. Lots of people that David knows. He went on John Safran's show. You think, you know, John Safran has a reasonably popular radio show on Triple J in Australia. And has the right kind of audience. That didn't do us much.
Yeah. So I think that it's that the really key thing is rewards. You've got to get your rewards right. And if you don't get your rewards right, then you're wasting your time. And I've seen a lot of Kickstarters where it was just like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? I think yours are all right.
There's some, yeah, I really would like someone to pay $8,000 to tickle David Farrier, though. That would be fantastic.
I backed you for the premiere screening package.
I'm very excited. I was hoping there'd be more backers than that because I wanted to get like a big theatre, but so far we're doing what we're doing and we'll find something.
I hope that you make it. I'm actually not that confident.
We're still confident.
Have you got something up your sleeve?
Nothing huge, but we do know that basically in general, if you look at successful projects...
Are you going to be promoted? Do you know that they're going to promote you?
No, I don't know that. I don't know how you even... I don't think there's a way to actually make that happen.
Yeah. Because that makes a big difference, I believe.
It does, but in general, if there's a whole... There's a shit ton of information on the internet about statistics of Kickstarter, but you can look... There's a website called KickTrack, KickTraq.
Yeah.
Where you can look at the, you know, all sorts of statistics about different Kickstarter projects. But in general, it's not uncommon for 50% of the whole finished amount to be raised in the first two and last 2 days.
Right.
And everything in between to, you know, kind of tail off in a reasonable curve so that the middle is always quite flat and that the beginning and end are quite big.
It's weird going through the backers list because I just recognize so many of the names.
Yeah, it is. It is interesting. It's
if you're listening now, and you haven't backed this, go and back it. Just back it for you know, let's say
$10. You can watch it online.
Let's say $5,000. Just back it for $5,000. No worries.
Just $5,000. If you give us $5,000, you become an associate producer.
Yeah.
And that means you become a production partner. And that means you get to have at the front of the film. You know, it'll be in association with you. And at the end, you'll get a producer or a similar credit that suits your chosen level of involvement. And we keep you up to date with how we're doing with making our production and post-production decisions.
So here's something that I think that you should have done.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the premiere screening should have waterfalled down the rest of the reward levels, because I would have backed you $100 if I got a thanks to and premiere screening.
Yeah, see, and I've been thinking about that, and someone asked that early on, and I can't change the rewards that are there.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that was a little mistake, but it's, you know, it's not a big
one. I mean, there's a good chance, of course, I could invite everyone who gets the thanks to. I could say that everyone who gets the thanks to is going to be invited to the premiere.
But they don't know that.
But they don't know that. It's difficult to communicate it. It's tricky. I would have liked to make some of those changes afterwards. I think what I could do is I could mark the current thanks to credits sold out and then make a new one that includes the premiere for the same price. And then tell all the people who have backed at the $100 level that they will get that as well. But I haven't really figured out a good way to do that. You can change your funding.
I hope you make it. And everyone who's listening, just go and back it, just because I think it'll be hilarious if Dylan and David pull this off. I mean, I'm not especially interested in this specific story, but I'm really interested in seeing what you make.
Yeah, so am I, to be honest. It's like we know a lot of stuff. I'll tell you some of the things we've learned, you know, off of you.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to spoil any surprises, or on the off chance that he ends up listening to this, tip our hand. but yeah, it's
just for fuck's sake, be careful when you doorstep this guy.
Well, he lives in a secure, gated sort of community place. So actually full on doorstepping him is going to be very tricky, to say the least.
Right, but, so there's going to be footage of someone talking into a speaker at a gate, though.
Yeah, well,
are you there? Let us in.
We've got some ideas.
Why won't you talk to us?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it's interesting, and we've had some very interesting people offer to talk to us as well. So we've got, you know, and we've had some positive contact from those in the tickling community. That's a thing, by the way.
Yeah,
who are not happy with how this guy is reflected upon there.
Don't make fun of those people.
We absolutely won't. We're going to be very clear to say that, you know, there's a whole lot of people who have this fetish. It's completely innocent. They, you know, they're no different to anyone else who likes to see a little bit of some sort of, you know, exciting media on the internet.
Yeah.
They are in many cases as pissed off about him as other people are.
Yeah. Tickling is really nice, but I think most of us probably are weirded out by this because it's something that I associate with childhood.
Well, so that's weird, eh? Since there's a game we play with a 2-year-old.
Yeah.
You put your two fingers together, you know, you point them together.
Yeah.
And your two index fingers together. And we say, break the pickle. And he breaks the two apart and he's like, tickle, tickle, tickle.
Yeah.
And that's like his favorite game. He loves that. And it's been a bit weird for me ever since. Yeah. And it's just like, damn it, you fucker, you've ruined this. But yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can't personally find anything sexually invigorating about tickling, but
no.
That's not to say that there are not plenty of people who do, and really in the scale of fetishes,
it's pretty tame. Yeah. And I mean, I also don't find it sexually arousing, but I can understand why you might. I guess some of that sort of semi, you know, harmless powerlessness.
There are definite aspects that are, you know, familiar across a lot of fetishes. You know, there's power and domination play. Yeah. There's helplessness. There's all that control stuff in some circumstances. And then they can, you know, it often merges with foot fetish stuff as well. You know, but look, there's plenty of people who spend lots of time studying sexual fetishism and things.
Yeah.
I'm sure they've got lots to say about it, but...
And hopefully you'll talk to a couple of them.
Well, that's an interesting point. Maybe we will. Let's see if we can talk to Dan Savage.
That would be a coup.
Yeah, well, actually, it was in a documentary I watched about penis size the other day.
Did he say that you're perfectly normal, Dylan?
He did. Specifically to me, he looked right in the camera and said, Dylan, your penis is fine.
Dylan, your penis is fine. Just remember to use plenty of lube because that girth could be a problem for some women.
It is something to consider.
Yeah.
It's tickleking.com.
Tickleking.com.
Although, to be fair, we've actually had some feedback from the tickling community. We may change the name before the release because Tickle King does sort of elevate him to an exalted position,
yeah.
which he frankly doesn't deserve.
Just remember though that you don't need any advice, but I want to give you some anyway. So here goes. You will certainly be talking to some people who are probably strange, but just remember that they're not powerful.
No.
Right. No. So you know the difference between. There's behavior where if you do it with someone who's powerful, it's acceptable. But when you do it with someone who's weak, it's bullying.
Yes.
But I'm not saying that about this D'Amato guy because I feel like he's weak, but he also feels like the villain in this with his behaviors. So even if he is, you know, relatively a powerless person, he is the bad guy. So the gloves have got to be off with him potentially, but there's also...
Yeah, we
don't want to make yourselves the bad guys either.
We're very clear on who we have a problem with, and we're quite conscious about avoiding collateral damage for other people,
right?
In whatever ways we can.
And take your time with the production. If it needs to take longer, take longer.
We'll see how we go. We've got a fairly good idea of how it's going to play out.
Yeah,
but who knows? There's a lot of variables.
And make it look good.
That is a key focus of mine personally.
Like the obviously there's been it's a comparison that many people have made to Catfish, and that had just some interesting little quirks. As I recall, I haven't watched it for a very long time, but as I recall, they did some very interesting things with maps and stuff when they traveled.
All right, I haven't actually seen it at all, so I'll have to look it up.
You haven't watched Catfish?
I don't think so. Doesn't sound familiar.
Fuck me.
Don't worry, I'll find it and watch it.
Listeners, if there are any other documentaries that you think Dylan should watch before he tries to make this documentary, just tell him on Twitter. Fuck. It's so funny that I'm acting like we have listeners. I mean, I've joked in the distant past about, you know, not having many listeners, but now I sincerely believe there are only people with extraordinarily good taste would have stuck with us through the kind of misbehavior that we've been engaging.
Or people who are very lazy and don't bother cleaning out there.
So either people who are lazy or people who are erudite as fuck.
If you're either of those things, back my fucking Kickstarter.
Back that Kickstarter. I mean, all he needs is another $9,530.
That's right.
Should be no problem. It's only like a little over $1,000 a day. Easy. You could get that selling your bottom on the street.
Hopefully it won't come to that.
I also hope that. So as I have not got anything in any... Oh, we could talk about the end of television.
Which end?
Well, the season's pretty much over of good TV, and now we're starting into summer television in the States, and that means basically all the good stuff is dropped.
I'm watching almost nothing that is actually contemporaneous. Contemporaneous.
Yeah.
Contemporary. I'm watching almost nothing on here at the moment.
Game of Thrones? Hannibal?
No, I don't watch Game of Thrones. I don't watch Hannibal.
You should.
I started watching 24, but, you know.
I watched 4 24s, and I think
that's all there is so far.
It's pretty good. I've had a hard time getting back into Louis, so I think I've actually given up on Louis now.
See, I watched the first season of Louis, and I haven't watched any more yet.
Well, up to season 4, and I know.
I'm also pretty sure I got through part of season 3 of Scandal, and then stopped watching it for some reason, like something else came up, and then I haven't got back into it. So I was going to watch it again the other day, and then I was on Netflix, and I was like, I can't remember which episodes I've watched, and I started watching one, and it seemed familiar, and then I just jumped ahead a few, and it didn't seem familiar, and I was confused, and I stopped watching that. Oh, it's so hard to keep up.
Poor confused Dylan.
Oh.
I was watching Survivor. I quite enjoyed that season.
Didn't watch any of that. Melanie watches that.
Watch The Amazing Race. That's also finished.
Always the way.
Archer's good.
Archer.
The animated one.
Oh, yeah. I never got into that. I started watching it and I was like, oh, this isn't... I just wasn't... I guess when I first tried to watch it, it was not what I wanted to watch at the time.
Yeah.
So I just hadn't... I've never gone back to it at the right moment. You know, because you just have to be in the right frame of mind to start a new thing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
Elementary. I think that's just finished a season. That was good.
First season of that. I haven't seen the rest, but Melanie watched all the rest.
Right, so...
She watches far more TV than I do.
And with American TV, there really is a lot of it. So, like, with Sherlock, which is a much better show than Elementary, but there are, like, six... Are there even six episodes? No, there's three episodes. Three. There's three episodes a season.
Yeah.
With Elementary, there are 24 episodes a season. So, you know, if you can't get...
It's unfair to compare them, of course, because they're nothing alike aside from the fact they're based on Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
They're not aiming for the same vibe at all.
No.
Yeah, there's so much television. I just keep seeing things I want to watch and then not getting around to it.
Mentalist.
But yeah, almost everything I'm watching now is on Netflix or Hulu.
You know, now this is something weird. I think I might have mentioned this on a previous episode. So like 2 weeks ago, probably.
Yeah, or a year ago, whatever.
Yeah. A year ago is definitely 52 episodes ago.
Absolutely.
Because we're so regular. I'm actually watching a lot of YouTube.
Yeah, it's fascinating what turns up, what you can find on YouTube if you just... The problem is a lot of times...
I'm not talking about dodgy.
You're talking about just YouTube, actual YouTube.
I'm talking about like YouTube channels. Like yeah. Vice put a lot of cool stuff. And,
yeah,
and there's... Now, I know this is going to sound weird because I am a 37-year-old grown man who's going to have a baby in 3 weeks. And I mean, I'm not going to have a baby. I'm going to have a baby in terms of possessing one, but I'm not going to have one out of my vagina because I am a man with no vagina. Some men have a vagina. I am not one of them.
Okay.
Don't be normative, Dylan.
So you're cisgender?
I am cis male. I watch people play games on YouTube.
Oh, on like Twitch. Like YouTube. And, or didn't YouTube
not,
just
no,
Twitch,
not so much right? Twitch. Mainly edited stuff. I watch Frankie on PC in 1080p. That's his username. So I watch pretty much everything he uploads.
My children
enjoy it so much.
Fanatical. They will spend hours in front of YouTube. Ostensibly, I mean, they could be watching horrible...
They're watching Minecraft videos, aren't they?
They are watching Minecraft videos and Club Penguin videos, and there's another one. Mostly Minecraft and Club Penguin, and what the fuck is the other one? Oh, I don't know. But there's these... And the other thing is Cassidy, who's 2, right, loves Thomas the Tank Engine. There's these videos that's just like guys, and this is adult males,
yeah,
talking about Thomas the Tank Engine toys.
Yeah.
Or there was one that's like a handheld, like just some dude pointing his camera at his kid playing with his Thomas toys. That video has 13 million views. 13 million.
Yeah.
But these other guys, like these other guys have like, you know, 200 million channel hits for their random ranting reviews of Thomas and other toys.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Frankie on PC and 1080p has 1.7 million subscribers and 237 million views.
Fuck, that's insane. That's so much money.
Yeah, this is his job. And I mean, I have a bunch of the games that he plays, and I would rather watch him play than play myself.
I don't even understand. Oh my God. That's great.
But in addition to that, there's stuff on the Motor Trend channel, which is, I think they've got something to do with Hot Rod magazine and I think other magazines. But they've got a show called Roadkill.
Yeah.
And it's about 30 videos and they're about 20 to 40 minutes long each. And amazing. It is a fucking blast to watch. They do up some piece of shit car. Like they fly to some city and they do up some piece of shit car and then they drive it 2,000 miles and it falls apart. Every time, this is what they do pretty much. Or they drive to like Alaska through the snow in a broken down car with no windows. And they just fix it back up all the way. And then they basically sell it for less than the cost of the parts they used to get there. And I watch that every time that there's a new one. And it's, you know, there's a bunch of other shows. There's Uncut Angling, which is this Canadian guy who does ice fishing. I don't want to go ice fishing, but I'm very happy to watch this guy ice fish.
Isn't it amazing? This stuff, this crazy, crazy niche stuff.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
There's this guy called Jimmy DeResta, who is he's a carpenter. And I watch him make things.
Oh, I think I've seen some of his videos.
Like he will make, I think he made he re-clad the handle of a hammer.
Yeah, I've seen some amazing carpentry videos. Yeah. And I'm just like, what the hell am I doing? I can't stop.
And of course, Vice put up a lot of really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
I got a little bit tired of the Ukraine coverage, but you know, they've got other stuff too. So yeah, I watch a lot of YouTube and I mean, I pay for a fucking Netflix subscription and I hardly ever use it. I just go to YouTube and watch stuff, you know, free stuff that some guys have made because they're really into whatever the subject is and they just put it out there. Yeah, I love it.
Television.
I love it.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Thank you. mostly what I've been putting up lately is fishing videos.
I've seen them. I mean, when I say I've seen them, I've seen the notifications that get posted to your Facebook when you put them up or your Twitter or whatever it is. Or maybe you just post them manually. I don't know.
They do tend to be a little bit too long considering it's not really.
I also couldn't give many fewer shits about fishing. Not that there's anything.
That's because you've never done it right, man.
Yeah, maybe. Just not. I'm just not.
If you did it right, by which I mean went to the correct place with the correct equipment and caught the right fish, you would have a fucking blast.
Yeah,
but you've never done that.
No.
You've never done that.
Not at all.
No. And with that many kids, it's awkward for you to do it. Yeah. Not at the age they're at. Yeah. Fishing's fun, man. When it's right.
Yeah. Totes.
Just boating in general is pretty fun, but there is a lot of cleaning up of the boat. That gets boring really fast.
Yeah, I wouldn't be into that. I just want to drive a boat fast and go brr, 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 you know.
I'm very sorry to break this to you, but you would never get to drive the boat.
Well, see, then there's the problem.
You would possibly not even get to bait your own hooks. Because you might hurt other people. I have 136,000 views on YouTube.
Oh, okay, let's have a look. You can probably tell me how many views I have before I do.
I subscribe to you. I probably can.
Especially considering I'm logged into the wrong Google account at the moment.
So you have 239,000 views. For what? What are your videos that actually...
A video
of... Oh, Car on Fire.
Oh, that one got a lot of views. Yeah, I didn't
35,000 views.
What else?
Andy Gill Collision. Oh, that's right. The Artie Gill.
Yeah, I made a
heaps of views on the Artie Gill.
Two split screen videos of the Artie Gill Collision.
It's really, it's those that have got
mostly. And there's also the
praying mantis versus wasp.
Praying mantis eating the wasp's face off.
Yeah, does it make you sad that the stuff that you actually put a lot of time and effort into doesn't get many views, and then the stuff which is just, you know, it just happened, that gets a lot of views? Because that annoys the fuck out of me.
Yeah, maybe. I kind of just accept it as the status quo of YouTube. Really, I mean, because you think about it, like a lot of the really successful ones. I like you say that, you know, they're people playing game videos and stuff, and they know how to do it. They know how to make the videos quite well. But then you look at other things that are more
conventionally produced.
Yeah, and it's harder to cut through with those. Yeah. Some of them are really good, though. Man, one of the ones that really impresses me is that guy, Devin Supertramp.
Oh yeah, and I don't like that guy that much.
Yeah, but you can watch his progression. Like, he started just making these kind of quirky videos, and he's literally kind of invented this whole niche that he does, and yep. He's mastered it. Like, good for him.
Yeah.
Steve Ramsey is the carpentry guy I watch.
I would rather watch Demolition Ranch than Devin Supertramp. Demolition Ranch is ridiculous. It's an American vet who makes his own shotgun loads, and he just puts like a roll of quarters or whatever fits, or like fills it with nails, or
that's good.
Or, you know, a whole, I mean, he let people suggest different loads, like a bunch of wire, all the wire that will fit in the barrel, or a spark plug, or like Mentos.
I've also recently subscribed to the Elton Brown channel. He started posting little mini kind of Good Eats kind of videos.
Right. The closest I've got to that, it will be Stephen Ranella, who has the Meat Eater show on the Outdoors Network. Or
right.
Yeah, and he posts like, how to skin and clean a rabbit.
No epic mealtime for you?
Oh, I'm not subscribed, no. Do they still make videos?
Yeah, pretty regularly. They've got their epic mealtime, and they've got another one. They've got like three little different series, basically. Epic mealtime is their basic one. They've got Handle It, which is like a instructional kind of thing, and they've got another one they do, I think. I don't know. Who can tell? Anyway, I think we've run out of internet now.
Yes.
Just gonna name YouTube channels at each other, and really that's, well, it could go on forever.
Rob Cockerham.
Oh my god, is he still around?
His videos get like 50 views. I can't quite believe it.
On YouTube. Oh my god, cockeyed.com was like the
beast. It was brilliant, and he made like cool websites. Like, didn't he build one of the dating sites and possibly sold it for a bunch of money?
Did he? I have no idea about him. So. I just remember his amazing. Oh, look at that. He doesn't
get views.
Oh, that's disappointing. Great. This is it. I'm now gonna spend the rest of the night looking at old Rob Cockerham web pages on cockeyed.com. How much is inside? His costumes.
Yeah.
All sorts of things.
He seems like a really good dude, and he obviously loves his kids, and no one watches videos.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go and look him up now.
22 Plinkster.
I don't even know who that is. Oh, hang on. Sounds familiar, though.
It's a guy who shoots 22 pistols and rifles and does trick shots.
No, that's not it. I don't know what that is. Rob Cockerham, here he is. Active 1 week ago, 118 videos.
Yep, and they've got like 40, 50, 100 views.
Why is no one watching him? He's so awesome.
Yep, he's a good dude. Well. I think people just don't know that he's passed out of the collective consciousness. Also, his videos are kind of boring. I mean, his videos are not as good as his blogs were.
Well, that's disappointing.
Like, he did How Much Is Inside a Pen? Everyone wants to know the answer to that, and he figured it out. Empirically.
Do you watch like The King of Random or any of those ones? Like,
no.
He does some good stuff.
I watch a lot of shooting ones. But
yeah, I gather.
And lots of fishing.
Right. Shooting and fishing. Gotcha.
Shooting and fishing.
What about this?
In computer games. All right, we've got no music. We've got no music.
Well, we have. It's playing right now. See, listen. Ooh, there it is.
We don't have finishing music. I don't even know. I think I put slightly abbreviated...